Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
The Lifestyle Show, presented by Selena McKenzie.
Now we're going to be talking to a woman who was sexually abused by her own father and later gave birth to his daughter. But she's now running a support group which spans 30 countries and has tens and thousands of supporters. This amazing lady has bravely joined us to tell us her story. Welcome to the show, Stace Don.
Hello, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Very, very welcome. So let's go back to the beginning then. It appears that the authorities did notice that you were being neglected by your parents because as a baby you were took into foster care.
Yeah, that's true. There was a couple of things going on and I ended up in foster care when I was just 18 months old.
And then at what stage and why did they give you back to your natural parents? Is that what happened?
Yeah, it was. So I was in foster care for 8 years until I was 10 years old. I lived a normal life. Like I thought that was my normal life. They were my parents, they had my brothers and sisters, my friends, and everything a kid could really dream of having. And then when I was just 8 years old, my biological father, he approached me and told me that he was my dad. And obviously I panicked, as any child would. I've run home. I thought, my dad's at home. So I've run in and I've told him. And then from there, really, is where it kind of stemmed, where I was told that they wasn't actually my parents. And the man in the park who told me that he was my dad was my dad. And my mum was my mum. And then I started having weekly visits with my mum, supervised access visits with the man from the park, because... Yeah, I think he was known to the system and the authorities of not being a very nice person, but they was quickly cut short. And then not long after I was like 10 years old, I was put back with my mum.
Right. And then you stayed with your mum, but at some point you moved in with your father because they weren't together, were they, at this point?
No, they weren't together. So my mum had a boyfriend and a couple of his friends often come round and they didn't treat me very nice. So I suffered physical abuse and stuff. And I got sent to live with my biological father when I was just 13. And then he physically assaulted me and broke my ribs. And then I ended up back at my mum's. And then kind of there, I've just like moved around a lot, living with different people, different family members. And then when I was 17, I went and visited my father again, because you kind of crave like your parents to want you, sort of thing. That's what I did.
Because I felt
like I didn't belong anymore, because obviously I lost contact with my foster parents and stuff. Like, I kind of did crave that. So I was in college. I had a job. I went to go down there for 2 weeks over Christmas when I was just 17. And I ended up down there for over 6 months because he tracked me.
Oh, when you were, before you were 17 and you were staying with him, did you go to school?
Sometimes it weren't like compulsory that I went to school. He would often advise me to stay off school. And then when I actually lived with him, I got took out of school. I think it was around 9 months I was took out of school. And I had to like take my siblings to school and clean the house and do other things.
Blooming heck. And when you say he trapped you when you went back at 17, did he literally lock you in?
It weren't like he locked me in, but I was from Oldham and I travelled down to Essex. So that was a long way for me. Like, I didn't really go out anywhere. And I had my coach ticket to return on the 2nd of January because I was going back to college. Anyway, I'd only been there like a day, and he took my coach ticket off me, ripped it up. He ended up managing my social media, my emails, and he took my phone off me so I couldn't have contact with anybody.
What a nasty man. And I believe in the evenings he had you doing army fitness routines.
Yeah, it was very military. He was never actually in the army. He failed on medical grounds, but he perceives that he was in the army, and he's very, very military. And if something's not right, then you'd be in trouble for it. And then when he hits you, you're not allowed to cry and stuff, and throwing my bed in the air at 6 o'clock in the morning, and just different things like, it was awful.
And was there anybody you could turn to? Were there any other family members you could tell about it, or were you too scared of him?
I had no contact with anybody. I had no phone. I was in an area that I didn't know. I had a sibling in the house, so I was trying to protect them at the same time. It was a very difficult situation. Also, even though I was 17, I was like mentally a lot younger. I think that's because of the trauma and the abuse that I suffered throughout my childhood.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, we won't go into details, but he did sexually abuse you as well. I can totally understand how you couldn't stand up to him. And then as you were sobbing in your bedroom, as any young person would, he threw packets of pills at you.
Yeah, he would often come up to the bedroom when I was crying, because he was one of them, you're not allowed to cry or you get hit again. And he would throw packets of pills at me. He would tell me that he could kill me and tell people that I've just gone back to Oldham and no one's going to miss me. He was threatening to other family members that I had in Oldham. It was really scary.
No, it sounds like it. And at what point did you realise you were pregnant, and what did you do then? Did you tell him?
So I started feeling really unwell, and obviously I weren't allowed out, but he had invited a couple of his friends over, and they had a daughter the same age as me, and I went to connections with her, and one day, like, the doctors was facing the connections, so one day when he was out, I've got myself an appointment in the doctor's, and I've gone, and when I went to the doctor's, it's like, can you be pregnant? But it just didn't sink in what had actually happened to me. And then when I was walking on, I'd been given a test to do because there was adamant that I was to do it. And I went into the connections and I took the test, and I didn't believe it. I actually felt really numb, and I just couldn't understand how I was pregnant, because to me, I hadn't had consensual intercourse. And then I arrived at home and I've gone through the door, and he was like really, really angry knowing that I'd been out of the house without his permission. And he grabbed me around my throat and went to punch me in the stomach. And I don't know what clicked in me, but it was just like, I need to protect my baby here.
Oh, Stace, you poor girl. Honestly, it sounds like you're very brave. And I know that you had a baby girl, you had Katie, and she was born in 2008. And no matter where she came from, I know that you're overcome with love for her.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, she's She's amazing. I was definitely blessed with her. Obviously, it's had its difficulties and stuff, but yeah, no, she is amazing.
And did you tell, does she know that her grandfather is her father?
Yes, she does now. She found out when she was 13. I'd never really had support, and this is one of the reasons for me doing my book, to show awareness around these, because support is needed for people in this situation. I've never really had the support. So I've been like, I've gone through it like really naively, not really understanding when she was younger, the problems that I might have faced and the struggles that she might have had growing up. But obviously now I am very much aware of them.
Well, tell us, I mean, it's amazing, this support group that you've set up. As we said in the introduction, it spans 30 countries and has tens and thousands of supporters. So what is the support group then?
So I started blogging back in, I think it was 2019. I found myself really, really struggling, really silenced, holding all this in. Katie was getting older and I just couldn't manage my emotions. And it was put forward to me about me starting blogging, and I was really like, I really thought about it and I thought, you know what, I'm going to, and I posted one chapter of my life, just like a basic brief. And the response that I got off that was absolutely amazing. So from there, it just ended up chapter after chapter. I think there's like 25 articles on there now. Wow. Where I've spoken about my life, and then I open up about the mental health struggles, because there's things that come with trauma and there is an aftermath effect and a ripple effect, not just on you, but on those around you as well. So I've spoken about anxiety, PTSD, like services, the system itself, and just so people are aware of what happens if they wanted to go down little avenues. Obviously, I can only talk about my own personal experience, but I wish I had that person there for me to kind of guide me a little bit, and I want to be that person for other people.
Yeah, that's why I love a lot of interviews I do. People say, you know, I wish that book was about when I was going through it, or I wish that blog was about when I was going through it. So I think people like you are amazing, because you are, already have, but will continue to help other people in the future.
Yeah, I hope so. I really want to be that person for other people that I never had. And it kind of, my bloggers give me like a bit of a purpose and like a new lease of chapter in life, as to say. And honestly, the support that I've had and that I've been able to give other people, it's just like rewarding both ways.
Yeah. Now, I know that he was charged, and DNA test did prove that he was Katie's father, without a doubt. So did he go to prison?
He was sentenced in April 2011 for 7 years, but only served 3.5 years inside. And when he was released, I was told that he's still high risk to the public and to myself. So obviously that even to this day, I'm absolutely petrified of him. But I don't want him to control the rest of my life, you know, and I just want him to push forward.
Yeah, don't let him define you. Well, I mean, I think it's amazing what you're doing. And I know you've co-written this book with Anne Cusack, who's great. She's a great Sunday Times bestseller.
I know. Yeah, Anne is amazing, honestly. Like, so understanding, and what the work she does is absolutely amazing.
Well, I suppose that's what you need, because she has to sort of get the story out of you, and you have to revisit the past, which you don't probably really want to do.
No, it was very, very difficult really being my book. And at points I thought, am I doing the right thing? Because it's a big thing, like putting yourself vulnerable to the world. But I want to change my negatives to positives and help other people and show awareness and show, you know what, survivors do matter and it is okay to speak out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think you're very brave. And for our listeners, we're selling the book right now on our website, tre.radio, in our virtual bookshop. It's called My Girl, The Little Girl I Was Never Able to Be, and it's by Stace Don, who we're speaking to now, and Anne Cusack, who you mentioned. Now, Stace, if people want to go to your blog or your support group, how do they do that? Do they just put your name in?
If you can type Stace Don in, and it does come up my WordPress. My blog is my WordPress, or I do have a link tree, and it is just at the life of Stace Don. So if you type that in Google, it does come up.
Marvellous. Well, you're an inspiration. Keep up the good work, and thank you for telling us your story.
Well, thank you so much.
My pleasure. You take care now.
And yourself. Bye.
Bye.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.